This is Stavin's Den.
All right, we will do something we have not done. God, I don't know, last time we actually dropped, like, real knowledge. We used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
With the scam stuff. But with Joe being out and us off next week, I figured, you know, why start a new Scamming Scammers now, right?
Yeah, not, no. We like to just, like, be able to roll them, you know, one after the other.
So here we go. We'll play the Scam Busters, and we will get underway. All right, we'll have play it low in the background. So this tax season is upon us. My dad's a CPA. It used to go tax season. It's the worst fucking season of all.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the holiday season. No, it's tax season. All
duck
right.
season.
Tax season.
Duck season.
Tax season.
Duck season.
Duck season.
Tax season. Ah! Oh!
All right. So some of these scams, you know, some of them we've done on the show. Some of them we scam scammers with. Some of them you might know. But we're trying to keep you safe out there. So this is the IRS impersonation phone call. I must say, the impersonations are terrible.
They're so bad.
Yeah, they are terrible. It was kind of like when Pip was trying. They are on par with Pip trying to sing as Donald Trump before. That's how bad it was.
That was brutal.
That was terrible. So the IRS impersonation phone call. One of the most brazen schemes used every year is scammers call a... Ooh, pardon. Claiming to represent the IRS to taxpayers and demand an immediate tax payment, calling from a phone number that appears to belong to the IRS on your caller ID. Actually, no, it seldom appears to be the IRS.
No,
it's usually some other bullshit.
Yeah.
They will threaten, badger, intimidate you into doing your Instagram story. Oh, no, into making you... to make your rash decision. Usually they will often ask for transfer funds by gift card or wire transfer. There's the first thing right there. No federal agency of the United States will take gift cards as payment.
No.
Not Amazon.
I've got a kick out of that.
Not iTunes. Not the Outback Steakhouse. They're not taking gift cards. There's a red flag.
Yeah. No, it's so ridiculous that they think any legitimate organization, much less the government, would take that.
But people fall for it.
I know.
Thieves are increasingly extending the scheme to email and social media channels. So of course, you need to know the IRS. That's what the IRS will never phone you or show up at your house. The IRS operates on snail mail. That's the only way the IRS is going to contact you. The old-fashioned way, with a letter and a stamp. Trust me, I know.
Yeah.
They've contacted me by mail. That's how they do it. And then if you want your tax preparer to call, there's a phone number to call. You can go on the website, and there's like a real legitimate government agency number, not some horseshit that calls up on your caller ID.
No.
So anyway, though the debt collectors have been known to get pushy, an IRS representative should never berate, abuse, or threaten to bring law on immigration agents. No, they don't do that
they
shit.
They don't do that.
They'll say they're going to garnish your wages.
Although, I can understand how people might think that if, you know, because stranger things have happened that people have been lured into, like, you know, giving away information and then ICE agents show up. So I could see how people who are, you know, new to the country would be afraid.
Yeah. But a lot of times it's seniors that fall for this one.
It is.
If someone's claiming to be at work for the IRS calls you, the IRS says you should write down the number you received the call from, the name of the caller, and then hang up. You can then call the IRS directly,
1-800-829-1040. No,
1040.
They're
so
cute.
Or visit irs.gov.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. That's what you do.
Yeah.
You can report a scam phone call with Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration by calling 1-800-366-4484 or TIGTA.gov. You can also call the FTC at 1-877-FTC-HELP or FTC.gov to file a complaint. All right. The surprise refund bait and switch. So in the words of the IRS, this is a new twist on an old scam. After criminals have secured your sensitive personal information, you got to remember there was like Equifax and all these hacks out there and Yahoo. And
yeah.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
That they would be able to get your information enough to do this.
And we've reported on, you know, when I used to infiltrate the scammers' websites and everything, there was tons of personal information there. Such as social security numbers and tax forms, they can easily file a fraudulent return on your behalf. That's scary. Once the funds hit your bank account, the scammers impersonating someone from the IRS or collection agency will contact you to demand the return of the ill-gotten money, either by depositing it into an account or sending it to an address. So they give you the money.
And then they want to take it away.
Yeah, it's pretty ballsy.
Yeah, it is.
So you'd be alert by for an unexpected tax bill, refund, or message from the IRS or your tax preparer about multiple returns filed using your Social Security number. Yeah, that would be a red flag.
Yeah. Well, especially you see money that you're not expecting show up from any federal government or any state government. You call them and make sure what it is.
Yeah, or you leave the country. If you get an erroneous refund, don't go out and make a major purchase. The IRS will want its money back.
Yes, they will.
That's not what happens in Monopoly. There's a bank error in my favor.
No, they'll come and get you.
If you suspect you're a victim, file a complaint with the FTC. Request a major credit card. Bureaus put a fraud alert on your record and contact the IRS. All right. Cancel or suspend your Social Security number. I've not heard of this one.
No, nor have I.
Criminals are making calls and threatening to suspend or cancel your Social Security number until your overdue taxes are paid. The scam may seem legit because the caller has some of your personal information, including the last four digits of your Social Security number. But as the IRS puts it, make no mistake, it's a scam. So if someone calls and threatens to cancel or suspend your Social Security number, hang up immediately. If they call back, don't answer. Write down the number and then report that call to the IRS, you know, phishing@irs.gov. That's the email, and you put an IRS phone scam. And include the phone number as well as any other details that are relevant. Basically, listen, if you think you're dealing with a scam, go to the IRS website. That's basically what you do.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it sounds like too fucking ridiculous, it is.
Yeah, it really is. And they will not be calling you and yelling at you. They can't.
They don't call you.
The government does not use the kind of pressure tactics on the phone or an email or text or anything like that that debt collectors,
especially
might use.
With an Indian voice.
No, they don't.
No, they don't do that. They mail you. They'll send you a ton of letters. They'll send you the same letter multiple times because they're not very efficient.
No,
but that's how they notify you when you're in the shitter.
Yeah,
that's what they do. The snail mail. They're not going to contact you any other way. If you keep that in mind, you will never fall for these scams.
Right. Even companies. In business, the IRS never calls them. They always use snail mail.
Fake texts, emails, or social media messages. Thieves have had years to refine their email trickery and have recently expanded into text messages and social media messages. Phishing scams have become much more sophisticated with incredibly authentic-looking messages sent from credible-looking addresses that dupe victims into sharing sensitive information or installing malware. One particularly bold gambit involves scammers using the IRS name and logo to warn taxpayers about the very scam they're perpetrating. Before soliciting sensitive personal information, note the attackers are increasingly targeting tax professionals in addition to taxpayers. That's interesting.
The balls on these scammers.
So you protect yourself by being wary of any communications you receive over email, text message, or social media purporting to be the IRS, a tax professional, or any other financial organization. Again, the real IRS will never initiate contact to request personal or financial information. So, all right. And then there's...
Trucker Tom just said, I've had this scam tried on me only once. They hung up real quick when I told them that I'm from the FBI Cyber Division and I'm tracking them right now. If I can lie, if they can lie, so can I.
He's been well-trained, and he's listened to this show long enough. The lying arts.
That's great.
Where Tom fucked up, though, is he didn't have something handy to record.
Yes. We would have loved that, Tom.
Yes. And to keep him on the line longer for hijinks to ensue.
Yes.
That's what we recommend.
They were, like, freaking out. Oh.
Yeah, I don't even pick up the scam calls anymore. I don't got time for that.
No, I don't either. I almost... the only reason that I've recently picked up the phone call that was marked as restricted is because it was a police officer calling me about my accident report.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's the only reason I picked up.
So the IRS's dedicated tax scams webpage, where the agency publishes warnings and updates about the current crop of scams that are being used. Additional scams to the IRS has issued warnings for include ghost tax preparers who charge someone to do their taxes, often based on a large refund amount, and then fail to mail in the tax return, leaving the customer with an unfiled tax return and no refund.
Well, wow. Tom was saying in the chat before, it's the boo season. Well, yes, this is it. The ghost tax preparer. Boo, like boo, taxes, boo.
Oh, okay.
But now it's because of ghosts.
Okay. There's also a warning for a tax transcript scam that targets businesses with an Emote malware infected file attachment. The biggest takeaway here is the IRS needs something from you. You'll receive a letter in the mail. That's what I've been telling you. You won't get an email, phone call, or text message. Even still, letters can be faked, so it's best to use only the official IRS website and phone number. All right. Then there's this other scam. So we dropped the knowledge. Basically, just deal with the fucking mail.
Yeah.
You write them a response. You can call them. You go to their website to call.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's the real website. Ends in .gov.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be faked. What?
No, I'm just thinking how many times that we've seen scammers, you know, writing emails and they have the most ridiculous endings. Not .gov.
No. Dot asshole. So this is a new one. New terrifying ransomware is using sextortion tactics, to target women and force victims to email explicit pictures of themselves to an address named after an ex-porn star in order to regain access to their files. Called ransomware and using the extensions ransomware and I want tits. This is real. The new malware demands that topless photos are sent to a Sasha Grey email address in order for the owner's files to be released again. Of course, Sasha Grey is a former porn star. Cybersecurity company Emisoft were alerted to the threat of the new brand of ransomware with its CV exploit of demand that appears to target women and has released a new free decryption tool to help victims combat the ransom request. Typically, ransomware attacks a computer or smart device by encrypting files and demanding payment in Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency for them to release back to the victim. According to Emisoft, the new sextortion scam presents a malware pop-up message on the infected computer that asks victims to email pictures of their breasts to retrieve their files. There's not enough tits on the internet.
I know, really. You have to go and like search for them. You might not like what you get.
Yeah, I would send horrible tits.
Oh no, the worst thing.
I would send Joe's tits. I have a picture just for this occasion, ready to go.
Yeah, squeeze those puppies together, all the hair.
No. I don't want them squeezed. That just makes them look better. I want them flopping in their natural environment.
You don't want a little hairy cleavage?
No, I want free range Joe tit.
All right.
That's what I want.
Free range Joe
tit. FreeRangeJoeTit.com.
Yes, free range. So let's see. The variant was likely created as a prank, but it doesn't make it any less problematic for those who were hit by it. Emisoft threat analyst Brett Callow told Fast Company the ransomware pop-up reads, "You are fucked," before continuing, "Files are encrypted. Show me your tits to decrypt it." And the following pop-up screen, it continues, "You are ransomware. To recover your files, email us your tits to Sasha Grey at blurred.com." I would fucking laugh. I mean, I'd be mortified.
I know.
But...
I mean, I would be really pissed off, but I would laugh if it actually popped up and said, "You are fucked." Ugh. I was like, "You 13-year-old motherfucking hacker." But, you know, kudos, because it's funny.
Anyway, Emisoft came up with a workaround. They released a new free decryptor for ransomware that will release files without victims having to fulfill the ransom request. This is not the first time that ransomware has asked for nude pics in return for decrypting files. In 2017, a blocker named NRansom also locked users out of their computers and demanded 10 explicit pictures be sent to an email address to return access. The malware claimed that it could verify the pictures sent were of the victim before any access codes would be sent. For tits.
I know, really. It's rude. It's juvenile. There are easier ways to get what you want, and you don't
slip
know.
Something in a goddamn drink like a man.
Oh,
what's wrong with these people? You have a phone. Take the picture. Move on. What? No?
No.
I'm helping.
No, you're not.
I think I am.
I don't think so.
I feel I'm helping.
I think that all this is being transcribed for your future trial.
I'm fine. It's good.
Okay.
It's all good. And just to show that it can happen to anybody, we'll include this last bonus story. Barbara Corcoran. You guys know who Barbara Corcoran is?
Yes.
Blanking?
No, she's not blanking.
No, I'm blanking.
You blanking moron. No, she's a real estate guru, and she's also one of the sharks on Shark
Tank.
That's
right. The blonde lady. Yes, that's right.
I know.
Okay.
Why are you telling me what I fucking know?
I don't know. I'm reassuring myself.
Why would you do that into the microphone?
I don't know.
Couldn't that be an internal conversation?
Could have been, but that's not...
Couldn't you just give yourself a little nod or a little pat in the head? Go, I got it.
I could have, but it's late.
It's 9!
I know. It's late for an old lady.
Oh, I fucking trigger
like
Tom
me.
Again. We're going to have another fucking German sentence. I say, it's nine!
Nine! A tongue!
Oh, boy. Shark Tank host Barbara Cochran, a renowned real estate broker and business expert, admitted Thursday she was swindled out of $380,000. Oddly enough, Bloomberg was swindled out of $350 million, and all he got was America Samoa.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Swindled out of $380,000 by the lowest form of fraud, a phishing scam. I don't know if it's the lowest form of fraud.
No.
I don't think it is.
No, I think that the letter that you used to get from the prince.
The Nigerian prince letter. Yeah, I think that's the lowest form. Just looked over at the big board. The scammers used an email address that looked like it belonged to Corcoran's assistant, but was misspelled by one letter. It's always you got to look at that shit.
Yeah.
The email contained a fake invoice from FFH Concept GmbH, a legitimate German company. Again, for $388,700 for real estate renovations, which didn't raise any alarms because Corcoran invests in real estate.
Here's your night, Tom. It's more German.
They did their research on Corcoran.
Yeah, they did.
On Fraulein Corcoran.
Fraulein
Corcoran. Thinking nothing was suspicious, the bookkeeper wired the money to the account listed in the email. The scam was only uncovered when the bookkeeper copied Corcoran's actual assistant on a reply to the original invoice.
Uh-huh.
Corcoran did not immediately respond to your request for comment from Forbes, but tweeted, "Lesson learned, be careful when you wire money," with a link to a TMZ story about the incident. I want people to...
She did get some of the money back, though.
Oh, did they?
She did, yes.
Yeah, they did. They were able to... there was one more thing. The bookkeeper caught it. There was one more thing to do. They just caught it before they lost everything. So they were able to keep probably about 90% of the money.
They got 90% back?
Yeah, her...
around that, yeah.
Her bank was... I forget the name of the bank, but it was a larger bank, and it was supposed to be sent off to two smaller banks in other countries, and they were able to basically strong arm those banks and say, yeah, no, you send that back.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
Let's see. The type of scam Corcoran was a victim of is called a spear phishing attack. These fake emails use specific language to target a single organization or person in order to dupe recipients into sending money or personal information. It's a common method employed by hackers against large businesses. So she was targeted. According to cybersecurity firm Cybin, 62% of companies experienced phishing or social engineering attacks in 2018. You know, you picture Barbara Corcoran as somebody who's famous and smart and wouldn't fall for it, but it just goes to show anybody.
Anybody can be a victim of this. Also, when you're used to dealing with large amounts of money like that, it wouldn't seem suspicious that you would have, like, a large dollar amount invoice that needs to be paid. So something like that could slip through the cracks if you're dealing in larger numbers. It's sort of like if, you know, you're used to your water bill being $100. I don't know. I'm just saying. And you get a water bill for $100. You're not even going to look at this twice. Most people, you'd go ahead and pay it. So if it was, you know, if you're doing it somehow through email and it's one digit off, you might not even notice.
So there's that. All right. I guess we'll get ready for the Afterbirth show. We'll thank some people for allowing this to happen.
Yeah.
Got out of here early on time. See what happens when Joe doesn't show up. We can fucking finish in a timely fashion.
You can't blame
me. Leave early when I'm sitting in my house.
Yeah.
Second time. It's like I don't. You know, there's no. Once the show's over, I've got a 3-minute walk into my kitchen. I can make dinner. No, we're gonna finish early. No, but when Joe's there, yeah, folks, we're gonna go to about 11:20.
No. When Joe's there, I have to wait for you to walk in the door for segment two. All
right.
Segment one goes a lot longer because you're not here. If you were here, it wouldn't go so long.
No.
Yeah. Unless there's something, I don't know. You want to do a little chit chat? Anything going on with you? I didn't ask you. You're actually here.
Oh, I found that people that work in pizza parlors are stupid.
What? Did you do a deep investigative report?
No. I wound up getting lunch and dinner on two occasions. First, I go to a pizza parlor last week, actually, ironically, on the way up to the show, and I go, can I get two slices? And then he puts one big, like, the size of two slices in a box. And I'm like, what am I, Fred Flintstone? Are you going to cut that? So then what he does, instead of cutting it into two, he cuts it into four small slices. I'm eating it like a fucking toddler now because stupid can't figure out how to
In his defense, not a bad call. You know, there's a reason why there's slop towel. You're not the neatest of, of eaters. So.
No, he's supposed to cut it into two manly-sized slices, and you fold it while you eat it.
No,
that's what's supposed to happen.
You don't fold pizza, you fucking animal.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Joe, do you fold pizza while you eat it?
When you fold it when it's hot. If it's hot,
yeah,
you fold it, and especially because all the saucy stuff on there,
yeah,
you don't want it to like the you don't want it to burn your hands, so you got to fold it to hold it in.
Take
there.
The fucking burn, you pussies!
Hot, only do it when it's hot.
See, this right. is the thing. This is the softness that we've become. Oh, my little hands might get burned. My lip. No, you fucking eat it, and you know what? You let the cheese stick to the fucking roof of your mouth and take off a layer of skin. That's how you eat fucking pizza, you fucking pussies! No, I can't believe it.
No, that's how you drink hot chocolate. Chocolate.
I'm writing this down. Note to self, never go to a pizza parlor with Davin.
No, because I eat pizza properly. You animals are a step away from a knife and a fork.
How dare you?
Yeah, step away from a knife and a fork.
I will not eat with a knife and fork.
What?
I will not eat with a knife and fork.
I'll tell you what, though, with like pizza, like when they get it loaded with like a bunch of vegetables and whatnot,
yep,
you need a knife and a fork because they don't make
you
the,
do.
They don't make the crust dirty.
No, they don't.
You know why? Because this is the second part. I go to the pizza parlor in Penn Station today.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
No, there's actually a very good pizza parlor run by assholes. so I go in there, and I go, yeah, I'll take this slice and that slice. And he put it in, and I'm waiting, and people are like going. I already paid for the slice. I go, excuse me, can I get my slices? They've been in there for 5 minutes. And he's like, well, which ones are they? They're on the top shelf. He opens up the door. There's my two slices. Which ones are they? The only ones in there, you fucking moron.
Oh my God.
There was really nothing else in there?
No. And see, meanwhile, I get the slice. Now, and here's the trick where I actually thought of using a fork. Because now that the slices have been in there, they're hotter than the hinges of hell. I'm trying to eat the thing without burning. And now I'm burning it the way Davin wants it. You know, I'm trying to eat it the way Davin wants it. Like
a man.
Like a man. Well, I wasn't a happy man.
Like a burn victim, you know, man.
But here's where you made a mistake. When he couldn't find the slices in the top shelf, you go, look closer. Look closer. Why don't you get in there? Stick your head all the way in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Really?
Now, I make a post on Facebook that I go, the guys in the pizza parlor, the pizza place in Penn Station, are so stupid that if he hired a squirrel, the squirrel would be the manager in about 20 minutes.
I don't think there's a lot of squirrels in Penn Station. I think that's a tough hire. I don't think you'd find a lot of squirrel workers in Penn Station.
Norwegian rats, okay. Yes.
Norwegian rats.
Norway rats, sorry.
Is that
sorry.
What the pizza rat was?
Yeah, well, Norway rats are the most common type of rat in the subway system.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Get yourself a Norwegian rat.
Now, while I posted that, my buddy Dennis starts ripping it to me. What, do you got a problem with that pizza place? That pizza place is really good. They got all the, and they got beers. What, are you fucking handling their advertising now? Shut up.
It's your buddy.
I go, I love him. I go, but I didn't say the food sucked. The food is, the pizza's great, and they do have cold beer, but they're fucking stupid.
How much does a regular slice cost there? I'm guessing like $4.75.
It's expensive. I mean, it cost me, I got like the two slices that had, you know, with all sorts of shit all over it.
Yep.
And a Coke. Ran me $13.
Yeah, it's crazy. New York is a little ridiculous. You can get like decent pizza for a buck, or you can pay like, or you can mortgage your house to get like a slice of pizza someplace else. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. No,
right. Now, for example, regular plain pizza, like on the aisle, like when I go to the show, I'll grab two slices to eat on the way up. It's $5.
Now I know why you're late all the time. Yeah. Fucking stuff in your face.
I'm hungry too.
Yeah, there you go.
Pack more lunch, stupid. Eat in the car. Let's go. Bring yourself a snackable.
Eat in the car. I don't sit there and have a leisurely meal. I'm literally in the joint for about 3 minutes.
Call ahead.
I'm back in the car and on my way.
Call ahead. Pull up. Have them fucking throw it in at you. leave the motor running. Let's go.
But fold the slice while you're driving.
No, you don't fold the slice.
Yes, you do.
If you're driving, you can fold the slice to make it more manageable.
But you fold the slice when you're eating.
No,
you do when it's hot.
You're so wrong. But what you do is eat.
You've got to fold the slice when it's hot. And I mean, when the damn thing comes out of the oven, you got to fold the slice.
First of all, when it comes right out of the oven, it's no good either because then all those sauce and cheese runs off it. You need to let the pizza settle a little bit.
That's the thing. If you're in a hurry, or you're hungry, That's the thing. That's what you're worried about, the cheese and the sauce running off the thing. When you fold it, it's right there. It ain't going nowhere.
Also, you should eat the crust first. It's the worst part. Get the crust out of the way. Finish with the point. That's what you do.
How are you supposed to hold on to the thing?
What are you fucking holding from the other end? What am I? Got club hands?
How the hell do you hold it from the other end?
Yeah.
What do you got, pizza tongs? How the hell are you
going to
hold it?
With my fucking hand!
No, it's all floppy, that little...
No, you got to go to a pizza place where they know how to make a firm crust. You're getting all this paper bullshit. What do you expect? Your pizza places suck. You want a nice firm crust. A little crunch to it. Fucking idiots.
I have a really good pizza place.
Do you now?
Yeah, really good. And they make those slices with all the good things on it, but they also make one that's a salad slice. God,
that's so stupid.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I love the
salad slice.
Yeah,
is it?
It's a Caesar salad slice.
No.
Why don't you get a Caesar salad ice cream sundae next? Why don't you just fucking do that? Here, give me extra whipped cream sprinkles and some romaine lettuce. What is wrong with you?
No,
the vinegar makes the ice cream curdle.
It's awesome.
Yeah, you tried it. I see.
Balsamic vinegar on a pizza slice, but the pizza slice it doesn't have like cheese or anything. It's just like
not pizza, you asshole. You're eating a salad sandwich. The whole point of eating a goddamn salad is so you cut out the bread. That's the whole fucking point, and you can't even get that right.
It's delicious.
You mock.
Let him yell.
I know. He doesn't know what he's missing.
A salad pizza. If I'm eating pizza, I'm already committed to eating shit.
No. It's salad pizza. It's great.
Is that why you have all these interesting health issues? Because you're eating health food like salad pizzas? Is that what you mean by I'm eating right? You're eating right now.
I didn't say it was health food.
There's
delicious.
No point. There's who wants lettuce? When Mama Leone was making fucking pizza in Italy, she wasn't going, give me the romaine. Wasn't doing that.
Trucker Tom agrees with you. He says salad pizza is sacrilegious, and whoever invented it should be shot.
Exactly. Exactly.
Good. Oh, it's good.
Now, Here's the deal. Whoever decided throwing pineapple on a pizza should be executed.
Actually, surprisingly okay. Surprisingly okay.
It's actually good.
No. You can't sit there and tell me that
I just did.
Salad pizza is no good, but you're going to throw pineapple on pizza?
I don't order it, but I've had it, and it's okay. I'll tell you what. Also, grilled pineapple on the grill is very good. A little salt, you're good to go.
Very good.
Yeah.
Pineapple doesn't belong on pizza.
How do you know?
Because it's...
You eat fucking salad on pizza. We're going to trust you?
Yeah, really? And you're going to put your pineapple on pizza?
No, I'm not going to do it. I've never ordered it, but I've had it.
I have. It's great.
It's okay. You know what it is? Because you get the sweet... You get the contrast of the sweet and the salty. It's a very common food profile. It's a taste
really?
Profile. Yes.
I wanted that to throw a fucking cupcake on there. I wouldn't throw a pineapple on.
You know why they have cupcakes at pizza parties? Because it's fucking delicious. You have the saltiness, and then you have a cupcake. That's why they have cupcakes, you asshole. You didn't make a point. You made my point, you moron.
Tom, we're killing Tom.
It took us long enough.
He's like, yes, kill the pineapple slingers. Not on my pizza.
No, I don't want it on mine either.
I have occasionally had that.
Listen, my go-to is a white slice or a mushroom slice.
Racist.
But I'll, yeah, well, of course. I eat it in the park with the turtles.
Are you folding your pizza? What the fuck are you doing?
No, I would never do that in front of a Nazi turtle.
See what it is? That wasn't paint. That was cheese.
That was cheese. That's what that was. No, I mean, you know, you can get like a buffalo chicken slice or, you know, there's various things you can do.
Friggin' delicious.
Right. Yeah, but now the salad is fine. It's unwieldy. It's cumbersome.
But it's amazing.
That's not amazing. Eating a bread sandwich. There's nothing amazing. There's nothing.
No, they put so much salad on there.
You can put as much salad as you want at home. There's not a salad Nazi. Oh, no, Pip. That's too much. You're giving yourself extra onions and tomatoes. You don't deserve that. You can take a slice of nice fucking Italian bread, put it in the oven, and drop a whole bag of Dole salad on it, and you can have your little fucking kitchen. And the cats can be sniffing around going, what's that smell? It's mommy.
Salad lays on there. You got the chicken slice on there. It's delicious.
Well, now you're bringing protein into it. Pip's not bringing protein into it.
No, on the other slices, there's chicken. But, I mean, like, when I get the salad slice, it's just the salad, the balsamic vinegar on the slice of pizza bread. It's so good.
It's so fucking stupid.
It's great.
Balsamic vinegar on bread is absolutely delicious.
Yes. Yes, it is. And you know when you eat that before you're at meal at a fucking Italian restaurant, you animal? That's when you eat that shit. They bring it out to you, sop it up before the good stuff comes.
Oh, I didn't know there was rules.
Well, good thing now you know.
Men have died.
Men have died.
There have been rules.
There have been rules. I can't help if you... Listen, you can't even fucking order pizza in New York properly without having an issue. So who are you to speak up? You're looking for squirrels to make your pizza experience better. You're a complete fuck-up. Listen to me. I know how this shit's done.
Yeah, on next week's Dav and Den, we're going to go off about Chicago style versus New York style.
No, there's no competition. Chicago style.
I used to make the Chicago style.
What?
I used to work in Chicago. I used to make the Chicago style. I worked in Chicago Pizza Pub when I was a kid.
What? There's such a
Chicago. It was called Chicago Pizza.
It's not riveting.
Made Chicago style pizza.
Pip is like fucking riveting. Like you just said, oh yeah, I used to be an astronaut. You just said he used to make fucking pizza, and like she's like amazed by that. You have this skill.
No. I mean, I thought for a moment that you lived in Chicago.
It wasn't a skill. I never got the hat. I mean, I used to make shit pie. I mean, they actually let me go.
Shit pie. Would you like your shit pie?
And now, better or worse than pineapple?
I'm taking pineapple over shit pie every day.
Me too.
I mean, no, listen, Chicago pizza's good. It's just different. Chicago,
it's just different.
It fills you up so much more.
Oh, my God.
It's much more bready.
Yes.
It's more like a Sicilian slice.
Yeah. No, it's even more than that.
I said more like. I didn't say it's the same.
It's a deep dish pie. It's more, you know, it's not flat. It's filled up with all ingredients.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good. But I'll tell you what. New York and New Jersey fuck up slices of pizza, too. Not every pizza place is created the same.
No. No, certainly not.
No.
Now, there was one place when we were on the road down in Myrtle Beach, there was a place that said New York-style pizza pie.
That was good.
And we go, we'll be the judge of this. Wasn't that bad?
No, we were the judge.
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of times you'll find guys that lived in New York and New Jersey, they moved to other parts of the country, and they open up a pizza place, and you're like, oh, my God, it's an oasis of good pizza.
Yeah, but the key is the water.
Yeah, I know. It
helps. Listen, the New York pizza place, they don't have Italians working. They have, like, Guatemalans. It's not Italians making the pizza anymore in the New York, New Jersey pizza places. They're Latinos.
Yeah, there's a place near me. It's called Paisanos. It should be called Amigos. Yeah,
exactly. You know.
That's a good line.
Well, Joe will be trying that out on stage this weekend. All right. So we had the pizza. We had the pizza dissertation on the back of taxes.
Yes, we did.
With your tax refund, you can get more pizza.
Sounds good.
All right. We would like to thank Sensei Russ Fertico for his continued sponsorship and support.
Thank you, Sensei.
Of this show.
Thank you.
Russ is awesome.
Portobello is Tuscan County, New Jersey's most exclusive fine dining Italian restaurant. The Tuscan Villa setting will make you feel like you've been transported to the old country. And every dish is prepared with care and attention to detail. And the Portobello chefs are happy to cater to any dietary need, thus ensuring every visit is not just a meal, but an experience. Portobello is open for lunch and dinner Monday through Saturday. And on Sunday, Portobello features a sumptuous brunch in addition to their dinner menu, which is available all day. Friday and Saturday nights, Portobello features live entertainment starting at 9 p.m. Portobello Banquets, that's your destination for that special event, such as a Sweet 16, wedding, office party, anything that has to impress. Their professional staff will ensure that your event will not be just an occasion, but a memory. Portobello Banquets also hosts the popular comedy nights throughout the year, which are produced by Sides for the Questions owner Davin of Davin's Den. Davin, what's that show coming up?
April 24th, Paul Bond is your headliner.
Going to be a great show. Experience all the Portobello has to offer. 175 Ramapo Valley Road in Oakland, New Jersey. Learn more. Call them 201-337-8990. That's 201-337-8990. Or visit their website, PortobelloNJ.com. You deserve the best. You deserve Portobello.
Side-splitting Productions. You guys need a comic, give us a call. Been having sold-out shows. DavinComedy.com. Call us 551-404-3094.
Please listen to HudsonRiverRadio.com, where you'll hear every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, the Richter Observatory, which is a great music program, and I completely forgot what my brother used to call himself, and a big pimp.
Big
Papa Pimp Helix? Was that
Why are you
it?
Bringing your brother into this?
Because he listens to the Richter Observatory, and he says it's a great show. So I was just, you know, giving a...
It's Pimp Helix.
Pimp Helix, that's it. I just, for some reason, I blanked. Pimp Helix. He says kudos.
I'll tell you what. I know. Yeah, I never want you doing a fucking eulogy for me. Who are we here for? What's his face?
That's what's going to happen by the time you go.
Nice man.
The guy in the box was what?
The guy in the box was a nice man. Well, sometimes.
But he knew how to eat pizza, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, he knew what to put on it and not to put on it.
Exactly. Put that on my tombstone.
So listen to HudsonRiverRadio.com Monday through Friday, 3 to 6. The Richter Observatory. Great program.
What do you got, Joe?
I will be at the Brokerage Comedy Club over in Belmore this Thursday. Go to brokerage.govs.com or 516-781-5233 for information. Then I will be at the Broadway Comedy Club at 10 p.m. on Friday night. Call them for information, 212-757-2323. Because we're off next week, and we're just going to plug for next week. I'll be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club, March 11th through the 14th. Go to UncleVinny'sComedyClub.com or go to 1-877-UNCLE-VIN for information there.
All right. Wednesday, March 4th, I'll be in New York City at the Greenwich Village Comedy Club on the 7:30 show. For tickets, call 212-777-5233. Friday, March 6th, Side Splitting Productions presents live comedy at Il Palazzo in Wanacue, New Jersey. Mike Morse is your headliner. You're like Mike Morse. For tickets, call 973-839-9696. 973-839-9696. Saturday, March 7th, I'll be in New Egypt, New Jersey at the Volunteer Firehouse. I wonder if they're going to ask me to build pyramids. For tickets, call 609-23... You like that, thank you.
It took a second because I'm typing, but that's great.
Thank you. Thank you. Hopefully I'll remember to use that line. There you go. Just thought of it. Oh, look at that. Look at it. Making Pip wet at the end. It's not when you make Pip wet. It's how you make her wet. All right, we'll all pause now for Pip to collect herself.
Yeah, I'm good.
Well, we'll decide that. For tickets, call 609-234-0608. 609-234-0608. And yes, as Joe said, we are off next week. Isn't that nice? You guys get a break from all this?
Oh, they'll be sorry.
They will be sorry, but we have all the old shows up on podcasts somewhere. I think we do.
Oh, yeah. You can listen to us on iTunes.
Yeah, but all the shows aren't on iTunes.
Yeah, I know, but you can go to the website and you can listen to a lot of different shows.
Absolutely.
You got all of it on there.
Davinston.com.
It's all up there.
Anyway, yeah, so we're off next week. Tuesday, March 10th, I'll be in Mishawaka, Indiana at the Smokestack Brew. That one's got free admission. That was good.
Nice.
Wednesday, March 11th, I'll be in Logansport, Indiana at the State Theater. For tickets, go to statetheaterlive.com. And Thursday, March 12th through Saturday, March 14th, I'll be in Louisville, Kentucky at the Caravan Comedy Club. For tickets, call 502-459-0022. 502-459-0022.
Oh, you're doing that run again. Oh, I would have liked to do that run. Shit. Well, all right. Well, have fun.
Well, we've talked about this. I bring you with me the first time for you. Then you do a good job. You keep in touch with the person. You ask again. You pay it forward to somebody else. That's how this shit works. I'm giving other people the opportunity now. I gave you the opportunity. You did a good job.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fun.
I know it's fun. And it was successful. Hence, I'll be back.
All right.
You could have gone back, too. All right. Meanwhile, why don't you talk to fucking Stupid down the shore and convince him I didn't try to sue him? Why don't you tell that more on that? Make yourself useful. Fucking idiots. Not Joe.
Oh, no.
No, not Joe.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was like, not Joe. Why are you abusing him?
No, not Joe. A guy I never met.
Oh, okay.
Making a completely unfounded accusation because he's got the corona in the brain.
Oh, great. Yeah.
He's part of the 38%.
Probably. Stuffing limes in his head.
But yeah, Joe, contact Louisville.
Okay.
You were funny.
I'll get the information for you during the week.
Okay. All right. All right. If you'll, we're going to do the Afterbirth show.
We are.
Oh, yeah. Go to Facebook Live. We'll be there in 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Go to Davin's Den on Facebook. We'll do the Afterbirth show. Maybe Joe will hang out in the chat room over there, too.
All right.
We'll talk about whether the Marines should get rid of all the Confederate flags, which is what they're doing. So, really, our opinion doesn't matter one way or the other. But they're doing it. So, we'll discuss that. But until then, we will see you here on the 17th.
Yes.
But until then, if you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Tell no one.
Either way, please.